1 Timothy chapter 5. We are on part 2 of the church's responsibility to the widows. This letter from Paul to Timothy, who's pastoring a church, is very helpful because it gives specific instruction to multiple different groups as to how the church should interact with one another. So there are times when he focuses on the ladies specifically, and we've dealt with some of those things. And then there are times when he focuses on the men specifically. Sometimes it's the leadership and young people as well. There was a portion where there was some very specific instruction to young people. And now we're in that category of older women who would fit a specific widow category. And younger women can be widows as well. But the Bible's very clear of their responsibility and their opportunities that are in front of them. And so I'm just praying that God will use this to help us understand our responsibility individually with those in our lives who are aging, whether it's both parents or one parent, and then as well our responsibility as a church to know how we should care effectively for the people of God. The church is a place where God's people kind of pool their resources to be able to meet needs. Many of those needs meet our facilities. Many of the needs go to meet our gospel partners who are serving and sending, going across the world to give out the gospel and establish local churches. Some of our resources are going to help the folks in our community that have specific areas of problems and concern. And then as well, some of our resources are going to help the people within the church. We have a category of people here that when God takes them through very specific circumstances, the church is called upon to be a part of their daily sustaining. And so we're thankful for this very clear instruction. And I want to just start by reminding you from throughout the scripture, God's perspective on the widows. Let me read a few passages of scripture. I'm going to start all the way back in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 22. It says there, "You shall not afflict any widow or orphan." Very clear instruction, long before 1 Timothy was written, that God's people should never be in a place where they would try, whether it's intentionally or not, hurt an orphan or a widow. Shortly after verse 22, that's where you'll find that specific instruction. It says that God actually responds in anger and in wrath against any mistreatment of the orphan and the widow. So as God's people, we should never mistreat them. They're in a special category. Why? Because they cannot take care of life on their own. You have an orphan whose parents have passed or abandoned them, and they need to be cared for because they're all alone. And then you have the category of the widow who does not have family, who does not have a husband, and so the people of God should come alongside. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 29, it says this, "The alien," which is not the outer space kind, but the stranger in your midst, the person who is from another area and they come, they're an alien in that regard. "The orphan and the widow who are in your town shall come and eat and be satisfied in order that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do." This is in the context of God requiring every 3 years the people of God giving an offering. So they personally take what God has given them, take those funds and supply the needs of the stranger, the orphan, and the widow. Very clear instruction how God wants his people to care for specific people in their midst. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19, it says, "When you reap your harvest in your field and have forgotten a sheaf in the field," a sheaf is just a bundle of grain, "you shall not go back and get it. It shall be for the alien, the orphan, and for the widow, in order that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. The next verse says, if you have an olive tree and you have taken the olives off, leave some of them, the ones who have fallen, leave them for the same group. Now God connects his blessing, the blessing, the work of your hands, it says, he connects that blessing with someone's response to those who are in need. So he gives instruction. Care for the stranger. Care for the orphan. Care for the widow. And when you do, God will bless you. That's not the motivation. That's not why we do it. We do it because God has said, you need to take care of these people. And so we obey our God. But in obedience, there is always blessing. God cares for those who cannot take care of themselves. Psalm 68, verse 5. A father of the fatherless. God is a judge for the widows. God in his holy habitation. So God takes care of the orphan. He becomes the father to them, providing for them, taking care of them. He also is the judge for the widow. So if someone were to mistreat a widow, it tells us that God will take care of that lady. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. The early church is now has been established and it's growing. People are coming to know the Lord, and what's going on in the situation? Well, a complaint came to the surface by one of the groups of people that what was happening? Their widows were being neglected. So very clear instruction came that they would choose men from amongst themselves to specifically care for the widows. This is probably the occasion where then the office of the deacon came to be, where those who were ministering, in this case in Acts chapter 6, it was the disciples, they were needed to focus on the word of God and to pray. And as well for those who are in eldership, pastors of the church, they are to focus on word and prayer. And so there are those within the church who are called upon to care for the needs of the assembly in the physical way, and specifically the widows. So God cares for you. If you are a lady here today and you have lost your husband, God cares for you. He loves you. And he has told the church, his people, to make sure you are handled carefully. That's always been his heart. That will always be his heart. So in 1 Timothy chapter 5, we have very clear instruction in verse 3. It says, honor widows who are widows indeed. We are, as a church, to honor the widows. We are to make sure that they are taken care of. We respect them. We care for them. We're kind to them. We treat them graciously. We meet their needs. Sometimes that is financial in nature. So that's the responsibility of the church. But he goes beyond that general description to give us very clear instruction. What I'm hoping today is that you won't just say, well, I'm not a widow and it's not my category. I listened when, he was talking about the men or the ladies or whatever. And so you're like, okay, I'm out. I hope that's not your heart. Because in giving the instruction to widows here and making it a very clear distinction as to who are the widows that the church should completely care for, he's actually given instruction about what life should look like for all of us and what our role and part can be. So let's look at the text. I'll read it aloud if you would follow along. Honor widows who are widows indeed. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now she who is a widow, indeed, and who has been left alone, has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. But she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead even while she lives. Prescribe these things as well, so that they may be above reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. A widow is to be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, and if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, and if she has devoted herself to every good work. But refuse to put younger widows on the list, for when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation, because they have set aside their previous pledge. At the same time, they also learn to be idle. They go around from house to house, not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Therefore, I want young widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and to give the enemy no occasion for reproach. For some have already turned aside to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed. Now, there is a lot of very specific instruction. And just so you know, those of you who have kind of, you're trying to figure this out, you may be in the widow category and you fall under 60 and you heard you need to get remarried and you need to have children. You can make your own applications to that, okay? Someone actually, in preparation for this text, they were reading ahead and they were like, now what about this whole 60 thing and having children? And so I'll let you deal with all that. But there's instruction here as to those who qualify, those who the church is really responsible for. And there's also a list of those who the church is not responsible for. And I just want to make sure it's clear as we walk through this passage that we understand God has provided the church with certain resources. We have to be good stewards of those resources. And so we have to practically apply as God gives us clear information. Again, the scripture is very practical, very helpful for us. So, those who qualify, we will talk about in just a minute. But in general, those who do not qualify, we talked about it last week, those who have family members. So if you're a widow and you have children or grandchildren, the scripture makes it very clear that your children should have the first responsibility to take care of you. We spent a lot of time last week walking through these things. That as younger people with parents, we should be very careful to serve the Lord, and Paul puts it in connection to our walk with God. Serve the Lord by caring for those in our family who are aging and getting older. And so for the church, it doesn't mean that we don't care. It doesn't mean that we don't graciously take care of certain things in time of need. But as far as the complete responsibility for these ladies, the church is not responsible. It makes it very clear that the ladies are, or that the children are. And in verse 8, it says, really, in generally, the household should take care of the parents, or specifically, the widow. Now, who else does not qualify for this? Let's go back in the text. Because it says that there are those who spend their time, verse 6, she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead even while she lives. So there are some widows who fall under the category, the church is not responsible, because they have chosen to basically walk away from their calling on their life, to follow Jesus. And they have chosen instead to live an immoral life. It says wanton pleasure. It's that idea of self-indulgence, whether it be through luxury or comfort. It really could mean a number of things, but the pleasures of this world have taken over this woman's heart. So much so that it really is proving that she is not a true believer, because it says there that she gives herself. There's a choice of literally seeking earthbound living and the pleasures that are here. There's this earthbound living commitment that even while she lives, she is dead. Well, that's referring to the fact that her life is now demonstrating in this difficult situation where God has removed the husband, that she is demonstrating that she did not have genuine faith. She's actually dead, as Ephesians says, chapter 2, she's dead in her trespasses and sins, because her life is showing that her heart is earthbound. She is seeking an immoral lifestyle more than following the Lord and trusting that the Lord will provide. Now look down to verse 11. It says, refuse to put the younger widows on the list, for when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ, they want to get married. So again, there's the category that the church is not responsible for. It simply says, don't put them on the list. Why? Because they're living as though they're unbelievers. How are they living that way? Well, they're seeking pleasure in their lives and in everything that is earthbound. And it's an immoral life that they desire. So much so that this verse in verse 11 probably indicates that those desires took them all the way to the place where they were willing to basically marry a pagan, marry an unbeliever, someone who is not a follower of Christ. They're like, I want company and I want the companionship and everything that comes involved with a marriage relationship. I want that so bad that I will go against what Christ has said is adequate and his will for my life. And I will do whatever it takes, including giving myself to someone who is not a follower of Christ. And this probably was happening in the local church. This probably was a specific illustration that Paul knew about, whether it would be in this particular church or another one, which is why he has given instruction. You do not have to care for the widow who, when the Lord took her husband, she basically showed her true colors. She's chasing after everything that her heart desires, and she's willing to compromise God's will for her life to the point where she would say, you know what? I'm going to marry someone who is totally outside of the will of God for my life. So when I said earlier that this particular passage, really, there's applications that can be made across the line. If it's not God's will for a widow to live for herself and live for pleasure and find an unbelieving husband, then single girls here today, young girls, and as you get towards the marriage relationship and that age of a season of life, this should be the same instruction you're hearing. Don't sacrifice God's best, God's will for your life, just so you can fulfill the pleasure that your heart desires. Don't just settle, hey, someone's showing me attention. I'm not sure if he's really a believer. His life really doesn't show it, but he loves me. So I'm gonna go ahead. I'm going to sacrifice what I know is right, and I know God's will is for my life, so that I can find happiness, so-called happiness, and find the pleasure that my heart desires. That is completely against the scripture. It is against God's will for your life. So it says, refuse to put this person on the list because they want to live life to the fullest. They don't want to miss out on anything of the pleasures that are here now so much so that they're willing to marry whoever. Now, Paul is not against remarriage. You shouldn't conclude from verse 11. It says, refuse to put younger widows on the list, for they feel sensual desires in disregard for Christ, they want to get married. Paul is not saying you should not remarry. If you're a widow and have lost your husband, you're perfectly free to remarry. In fact, verse 14 says that. Therefore, I want young widows to get married. So Paul is for remarriage if it's appropriate, if it's under his specific will that is articulated in the scripture. So if it's a believing man who comes along and shows interest and you get to know that person and you seem to understand his heart, he's a true believer, he wants to honor the Lord, then it's perfectly okay to remarry. But it has to be within the boundaries that God has set. Now, there's another part to this, because when you find this younger widow that Paul is specifically talking about, not only are they sometimes pursuing their personal desires and pleasures, but they're also not really doing what they're supposed to do. Look at verse 13. At the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house. And not merely idle, but gossips and busybodies, talking about things that are not even proper to mention. So for a young woman who finds herself in this category where God has removed her husband, she still perhaps is able to work. She still perhaps is able to fulfill the responsibilities that maybe that God would bring into her life in regards to marriage and maybe perhaps even children, depending on the age. That's not what's happening. With all this free time and with all this lack of constraint, this idleness brings about trouble. And what is the trouble? Well, there's a lot of wasting time going from house to house, having conversations. When, as we'll find out in a minute, there should be a devotion to the good works that God has called one to. And the process develops where the sin of gossip can come about and busybodies. It's that idea of talking nonsense and foolishness, and sometimes even it would probably lend towards following false teaching, because in verse 15 it says that some have already turned away. It says, for some have already turned aside to follow Satan. Perhaps with all this busybodiness and all this idle talk and this extra time, they're listening to people they shouldn't be listening to, buying into philosophies and doctrine that would be against the gospel that was revealed to them. And they've already made their decision. They're following Satan. So Paul says, these people don't qualify. These ladies are not your responsibility as a church. Don't put them on the list. Some don't put on because they have family who can take care, but some don't put on because they don't fall under the category of believers who are striving to honor Jesus. They're living for themselves, and it's being very clear. It's clear that they are, because it's being played out in their relationships that they're choosing and how they're operating and what they're doing with their time. Paul says, don't worry about them. They are not your responsibility. Now let's look at those who do qualify. There are some that do qualify, and it's very clear. Let's go back to verse 5. It says, now she who is a widow indeed and has been left alone. So you have a lady whose husband has been taken, and she has no children or grandchildren. She has no family to care for her. But what does her life look like? She has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. So there's a lady that does fit a category where the church should be keenly aware. The church should see this woman as someone who they are required to invest in to make sure that she is taken care of. And it's someone who is all alone, just like the orphan. And also, her life actually represents her claim that she is truly seeking the Lord, depending on the Lord. She's all alone. She has no one to provide for her. She is simply by herself. But what does she do with that? She runs to her Heavenly Father day and night and prays and seeks Him. She lives a dependent life, and God tells us that He will take care of her. One of the means by which He does that is through the local church. And so this is a widow indeed, it says. This is the widow that the church is responsible to take care of. In verse 9, it says that she is to be put on a list. A widow is to be put on a list if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, and then it continues. So, there is a type of lady who finds herself in a season of being alone that the church should be responsible for. Now, this idea of a list really helps us understand that although we don't see the words church membership in the New Testament, you can see in the life of the local church that there was a very clear understanding of who was a part of the church and who wasn't. So much so that there was an evaluation of their life. They knew everything that was going on with the person. So in the local church in the New Testament, there was a community where people were living life together. There was a closeness so that a life could be evaluated. Now we take from this kind of thing, like this particular list and other places in the New Testament where it said they knew the specific number of people. It talks about in 1 Corinthians those who are inside and then those who are outside. So we have in our day and age the idea of church membership. We had a connections class today along those lines. But this clearly indicates that there was an understanding of a group of people who were in the midst, and they were to be put on a list. And this was the list that the church would understand that they had responsibility to care for. Now, it was kind of like this idea of an enroll them. Now, she must be over 60 years of age, and that was probably a cultural norm. Maybe that was kind of the given age when someone would be finishing their working years, an age of retirement, most likely perhaps not to be remarried, although any woman would be free to remarry at whatever age. There's no restrictions along those lines. But perhaps the idea of someone who's over 60 and all by herself, she would need a lot of care and a lot of concern. And this is the kind of person that the church should be aware of. Now, it's interesting that there is a very clear description of this lady's life before her husband was passed. So look in the scripture, because sometimes we kind of think, as a church, we really don't need to be that close in our relationships. You know, sometimes people like to kind of have a little bit of anonymity where there's you don't know everything about my life. Well, this tells us that the church was pretty aware of this lady's life before her husband passed. It said that she was the wife of one man. There's disagreement on this. It could be, and we talked about it in the elder passage, this could be that she had only been married to one man, or it could be that she was the kind of person that when she is married to a man, she is fully committed. So the idea of a one-woman man. So she is pure in that relationship. So there's a couple different interpretation options there. But the idea, I think, you know, we understand there's a commitment to the marriage relationship. Verse 10, her reputation is that of having good deeds. So people knew her for her good works. She was busy serving the Lord. Perhaps she had children and she was dedicated to those children. She was also known as showing hospitality or care for strangers. So in the day and age where there were a lot of people who would pass through communities and there wouldn't be the local hotel for them to just stop in and find all the refreshment or the local restaurant, there would be a need for Christians to rally around and show hospitality to strangers. This woman was known for that. While she was married, this was her reputation. It also says that she had washed the saints' feet. This is the idea that just presents following the example of Jesus. Again, a cultural experience, but it was simply she was a servant. She served people. Even the lowest of jobs, she was willing to do. She assisted those who were in distress. So if there was a need, there was a problem, she was there. And if she devoted herself to every good work. You know, I was thinking through this passage and I was thinking, what if every married woman here today took this list? I was thinking this would be a good Mother's Day or, you know, an emphasis, this would be a good Mother's Day message. Because here's a woman who, she lived this way while she was married. God took her husband away. So God calls on the church to say, hey, care for her. What if every married woman here were to take this list and say, this is what I want to be. This is how God describes a godly woman. Someone who will be faithful in her relationships, specifically her husband relationship. She will be one that is known for serving others, even the lowest of responsibility and position, washing feet, taking care of strangers, being involved in good works. What a wonderful thing. You never know when your husband is going to be removed from your life. So I think not only does this passage speak to the kind of woman who fits the widow category, but it actually speaks and encourages what every woman in the local assembly should strive for. Hey, so-and-so is known all of her days for doing this and this and this and this. Oh, her husband's been removed. God's taken her husband. All right, we need to care for her. She served the Lord faithful. She's proven to be a disciple of Christ. And it works out in her life, and it has all these years. All right, church, let's take care of her. It's interesting how God puts clarification on the church's responsibilities. And part of that, actually, it matters how we live. It matters how we interact with one another, no matter what season of life. You could be 30. This is a great list for you to choose to say, you know what, this is what God said, an older woman who has lost her husband, this is valuable to God. I want to be this person. If God has given you children, value them in the season of life that they're in your home. Put them as your focus. Don't forsake them for whatever it may be, a career or other opportunities. Be faithful while you're there. Doesn't mean you can't work. That's not the issue. The issue is priorities. Don't get so distracted in your younger years that you don't have time to serve the Lord. It says that this lady was committed. She had a reputation for good works. And it came out in every area, every compartment of her life. So that now when God allows her to go through an experience and a season where she's all alone, he says, church, get after it. Take care of her. Make sure she's provided for. Make sure she's physically able to get around and all of her needs are met. You know, one of the guys in our church in the last year had a burden for this kind of ministry. And he came to me, we had lunch, and he said, I have a burden for the widows of our church, and I would love to just serve them. And I know there's guys in our church that have handyman skills, and I think we can do a lot to really benefit. And I was like, that is fantastic. That's exactly the way we want it. Spirit-led ministry and people who are willing to take ownership. And so God has provided this wonderful group of men who regularly care for widows in our church. It's awesome. And if you have a need, contact us. We'll let you know when they can be there. It's right. It's appropriate for the church then to say, okay, this is the person that we should target and care for. The lady who's all alone. And sometimes we live in a day and age where the children and the grandchildren, they don't see their responsibility and they forsake. Then, you know, at that point, I think it's appropriate for the church to be aware and involved. But this lady, her life should look like Jesus. She should trust God in her current circumstances. And she shows that by daily looking to him for her provision. And her life was characterized by all of these wonderful things that God values, priorities that are structured according to the scripture. So the church then, as it says in verse 16, if any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed. He's just kind of summarizing that if there's, and he uses women here specifically, if there's a woman who has a lady or a mother who is a widow, she needs to care for them. Just reiterating the fact that families should care for the widows. So that the church can care for the widows indeed. So there will come seasons of life in a local assembly where, just like the orphan, a lady finds herself all alone, completely dependent on God. And God says, I'm going to use your church. You've been faithful. And I'm going to use your church to take care of you. And so that's very clear instruction. Now, because of our culture and the day in which we live, there's a lot of preparation that takes place for many with life insurance policies and Social Security and property and things like that. So many times, a lady who's on her own, she's actually perhaps had someone that was planning and going to take care of her along those lines, which is a blessing. But the church can still be there to take care of and meet whatever needs is necessary. But there may be some who are on their own, and God calls the church to be faithful because she has been faithful. It's very interesting that this passage to me, as we have a glimpse into the early New Testament church, that there was a community where they were living life together. They understood each other. They understood what was going on in the life so that someone, they were close enough to know, okay, she has a reputation for this. She has a reputation for that. She has a reputation for that. We've seen it in her life. So there should be a desire in our hearts to grow together, to walk together, to be real together, to be transparent together. It's a community. We're a church. We're a community. And with that, we have responsibility. So we give faithfully week after week. We have an offering as part of our worship to the Lord. And we ask you every week, be faithful, be faithful. Give to the Lord. Because as you give to the Lord, God helps us then as a church figure out what our needs are and what we need to do. And we can give and be faithful to people like this. And that's the way God designed it. And so the church must take these things seriously. But as we close this morning, I hope wherever you find yourself, whatever season of life, in application to last week, perhaps God's calling you to care for aging parents. Be faithful in that. Do all you can to honor the Lord as your mom or your dad or both, as they get to a point where they need care and concern. Be a faithful child. Be a faithful grandchild. And those of you who find yourself in the widow category, perhaps under 60, trust God with your life circumstance. He allowed this into your life. Trust him. Perhaps he'll provide a godly man for you to remarry, but don't spend your time seeking pleasure and getting wrapped up into things that don't honor Jesus. Use the time to serve the Lord. Get involved. Love others. Have that reputation of someone who lives out her faith. And those who may be in the older 60 category and you find yourself all alone, I'm asking you to make sure you communicate with us on a regular basis. If we don't know the need, it's hard to meet the need. So we're asking you, if you fit this category, that you need to let us know. And we want to be faithful to you. We want to serve you well. We want to come alongside and help you trust God to be your provider. And the local church, your family, can help with that. So may God help us to be faithful in our relationships, our very practical, everyday relationships, so that we can live for His glory and be a healthy church that honors Him. Let's pray. God in heaven, I pray that you will help every person here to have a heart to hear your word, to listen carefully to it, and strive to apply it. God, I pray that you will help those who are in the season of life who are caring for aging parents to be faithful. God, give them the strength and the faith to just keep persevering. God, for the widow who finds herself older in age and all alone, I pray that she would be encouraged and she would be reminded that you are taking care of her. And God, we are here for her as well. We want to be faithful, be good stewards of our responsibility. God, for perhaps the younger widow who is being tempted to live according to this earth and follow things and give herself to relationships that don't honor you, God, I pray that you would protect her. I pray that she would see your goodness in this season of life and trust you as she follows you and serves you faithfully. God, for all of us, help us to serve you. Help us to want to glorify you with our lives so that we will be known for these things. It's not why we do it for the praise of men. We do it because you have said this is what you value. And so help us to be faithful. Thank you for Calvary Baptist Church. Help us to continue to strive to be healthy and faithful. In your holy and precious name I pray. Amen.